rut.
Yeah.
On the side of the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Me up.
Yeah. Well, folks, tonight, boy, oh, boy, our prayers are with the victims in Orlando. And there was also, in case you don't know, there was also a plan for another attack today in California, where they're having the gay pride parade. Another terrorist was on his way. He had bombs. He had automatic weapons, assault rifles. He was ready to kill more people than died in Orlando.
Just one
in Orlando. And just one was on his way to that gay pride parade in California. He was going to kill a bunch more people. And somehow the police stopped him on the way. And they found his car loaded with all kinds of an arsenal of weapons. And that was the grace of God that stopped that one. It would have been two in one day.
Will he never see the light of day?
Most likely he will. But not for a long time. The whole thing is he'll get a defense attorney, and he didn't actually commit a crime. He was going to, but he didn't do it. You know how this goes. Well, praise the Lord, folks, for a Sunday night service, and thank the Lord for the peace that we have in Jesus Christ in this crazy world in which we live. Where would we be without the Lord? Wow. Luke chapter 2 tonight, folks. Luke chapter 2. And we continue with our studies in the Shekinah glory in history and prophecy. Part 6 tonight, sound man. Week number 6. Now, church, tonight, as we come to our 6th installment of studies on the Shekinah, we're beginning the 3rd section of 4. Remember, in section 1, we looked at the biblical definition of the Shekinah, what it is. Then in section 2, we saw the Shekinah in the Old Testament, his history. Tonight, we come to the 3rd section of our studies, which is entitled the Shekinah Glory in New Testament History. Shekinah in the New Testament History. Now, there are a total of 7 appearances of the Shekinah in the New Testament. We'll look at each one individually. First of all, I believe we'll cover the first 3 tonight. First of all, we have the appearance of the Shekinah glory to the shepherds. Remember the shepherds at the incarnation? Go with me to Luke chapter 2 tonight. The first historical appearance in the New Testament of the Shekinah is found here in Luke chapter 2. Look with me in Luke chapter 2 at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This is Rome ruled the world. And the revived Roman Empire under Antichrist, of course, will rule it again. It's coming back. It's amazing how similar things were at the first advent as they will be at the second. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, and to his own city. And Joseph, the husband of Mary, also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David. Now somebody tell me, what is the city of David? Think. Bethlehem, right? Which is called Bethlehem. It tells you right in the verse. It's called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. Very important. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Wait a minute. He's engaged to her, but she's already pregnant. 9 months, as a matter of fact. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, sheep herders. And you know that word, sheep herders, that's how they get the word shepherds, right? Abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the what? Glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. Now I'm going to talk about that, those 5 words in verse 9 in a minute here. The glory of the Lord. We've seen that term before, haven't we? Now, observe here that the Holy Spirit uses the same exact five words, which he used throughout the Old Testament to identify the appearing of the Shekinah glory. That is, in verse 9, the glory of the Lord. Always speaking of the Shekinah in the Old Testament, right? So, you know, the Holy Spirit is consistent. And you know, really, you don't need Hebrew and Greek, folks. You need the King James English, okay? You don't need Hebrew and Greek. You really don't. But listen, realize here that the Shekinah had not been seen in Israel for over 600 years prior to this occurrence. It had gone out in Ezekiel chapter 12. Remember that? Now, this indicates clearly that God's glory and presence was now returning to Israel. He's trying to let the people know that Messiah is come, if they would receive it. Okay? Now, this here we have is the appearance of the Shekinah glory to the shepherds. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory, the skinei, the Greek drops the H. Instead of Shekinah, it's skinei. The skinei of the Lord, that's the Shekinah, shone. We've seen this before. It's the Shekinah's been described as a cloud, as light, as fire, as various appearances. Okay, now secondly tonight, that's the first appearance in the New Testament. We have a second appearance of the Shekinah, and that is what I call the appearance of the Messianic star. The appearance of the Messianic star. Go with me to Matthew, flip back from Luke, previous to Mark, to Matthew chapter number 2. We have another appearance here of the Shekinah in the New Testament. It's called the appearance of the Messianic star. And I'm going to show you why it's the Shekinah. In Matthew chapter 2, look with me at verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Time out, church. Why were they wise? Who were they looking for? The Messiah. I'm going to talk about these wise men in a minute here and tell you why they were wise. There's a reason why they were wise. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? These guys understood Old Testament prophecy better than most Jews. Look what they ask them. For we have seen his star in the east, that's Babylon, and are come to worship him. They knew he was God. 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least amongst the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's a messianic prophecy. And it's taken from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, of course. You know that. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time or when the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. It had been some time. He was no longer an infant. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. You liar. He told them that he wanted to come worship the babe. Yeah, right. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They were wise men. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Very wise men. Now, in this passage, beloved, there's a number of things we must observe concerning the Shekinah. This passage contains the record of the visit of the Magi from the east, the wise men. These wise men from Babylon who searched the scriptures, which I believe, I've studied this, I believe Daniel left the scriptures, the prophecies that he wrote in Babylon when they came back to the promised land, the Jews. He left the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. For those wise men studied them. There was a remnant of believers that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had won to the Lord there in Babylon. True believers. And I believe there was a generation, a succession of generations up until the coming of the Messiah that studied those scriptures that Daniel left. How else could they know that when the Messiah would come? Daniel gave them the date in his prophecy in chapter 9. Remember that? We saw that in our studies of Revelation. Now, they searched the scriptures, which I believe Daniel had left there some 500 years earlier. They were literally led there, listen, by a visible messianic star. Now, in fact, that this was no ordinary star is completely evident by the actions which this star took. First of all, let's look at some of them. First of all, notice that this star, thank you, appeared and disappeared on at least two separate occasions. Look at verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the greatest event in the history of the world was the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay? The days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, here is the first appearance of the star and disappearance, because they no longer saw it when they were talking to Herod the king. See that? It appeared and it disappeared. But look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Here it appears again. And they're really glad because it's leading them again. So look at verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Great joy. So it appeared, it disappeared. Then it appeared again, and it disappeared again. You see that? On at least two occasions, this star appeared and disappeared. It's no ordinary star. But secondly, this star led the Magi for over 200 miles from the east to the west, from Babylon to Jerusalem. Watch this. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, I believe that's Babylon, to Jerusalem, that's in the west. See that? Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, where? In the east. And we are come to the west, to Jerusalem. Israel is way west of Mesopotamia, you know that. To worship him. Okay, now drop down to verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Where? In the east. He wanted to know when it appeared to them over there in Babylon. You see that in verse 7? It appeared in the east, like 200 miles east of Israel. Okay, now watch. Verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, in the west, in Jerusalem, right? In Bethlehem, I should say. Now, thirdly, this star not only led them from the east to the west, not only appeared and disappeared on two different occasions, but thirdly, it also led them from the north to the south. From the north to the south. Look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to where? They came to Jerusalem first, right? But watch what happens in verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. 8. And he sent them to where? Bethlehem. And said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. The king Herod sends the wise men from Jerusalem southward to Bethlehem. Okay? So now this star not only led them from east to west, now it's leading them from north to south. This is powerful stuff. They didn't need GPS navigation. They didn't need OnStar, El. They got something way better. The angel of the Lord, the star, the messianic star led them literally. And I'm going to show you that this star was an angel. Fourthly, notice that this star stood over the house where the Messiah was. Look at verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, the messianic star, which they saw in the east, went before them. It's leading them by the hand. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, folks, the reason this is an angel is because stars don't stand over people. Did you notice the wording in verse 9? The star came and stood over the child, saying, that's him, that's God in the flesh. Bow down and worship him. And they did. Amen. That's good stuff. Fifthly, though, concerning this messianic star. Fifthly, notice that this was Messiah's personal star in the sense that it's not true of any other star or any other angel that's ever been created. Look at verse 2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen, what? His star in the east and have come to worship him. Now listen carefully, beloved. The Greek word here for star in verse 2 is skianai. Now, this Greek word here means brilliance and radiance. Okay? This coming in the form of a great light, this was the reappearance of the Shekinah announcing the birth of the Messiah to the Gentiles. Because the Magi, remember, they were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. They were Babylonians. So do you realize that Jesus Christ, the announcement of his incarnation, was to Gentiles before the Jews to whom he came? Isn't this fascinating? He came to be Savior of the world, folks. That's powerful stuff there. Now, the third appearance of the Shekinah in the New Testament is in a totally new form. A totally new form. I want you to see that. Go with me to the Gospel of John. Now, remember I emphasized over and over to you when we began this study in week one, the definition of the Shekinah, what it is, what it actually was. And we saw what it was. I'm going to review that definition with you here in a minute. But here we have the appearance of the Shekinah in a totally new form, never expected by anybody. Look with me in John chapter 1. And now, remember, last week we saw the Haggai prophecy in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, where it said there would be a reappearance of the Shekinah in the Zerubbabel temple. Okay? The Solomonic was destroyed by the Babylonians, right? Then Zerubbabel comes back from Babylon, and him and Haggai and Zechariah, the post-exile prophets, then them and the people rebuilt the temple, a new temple. They call it Zerubbabel's temple, which Herod renovated. But Herod didn't build a new temple. He renovated Zerubbabel's temple. Okay? There's four temples, remember, in world history. Solomonic, Zerubbabel, Tribulation, Millennial. Four temples, okay? This is the second temple. And the prophecy in Haggai chapter 2 said that the glory, the Shekinah, of God would return to this temple. Remember when Haggai asked the people the question, how many of you here saw the Solomonic temple in all its glory, in its first glory? And just a very few had seen it because there were 70 years in captivity. So they had to be little children who survived all that time and came back and lived to see the second temple built. Very, very few. They had to be 80, 90 years old. But there were some. And he said, how does it compare to the glory of Solomon's temple? And he said, isn't it as nothing next to that temple? And it's true. It was like nothing. The Solomon's temple was one of the seven wonders of the world. It was glorious. Zerubbabel's temple was very plain and simple. There's a reason for it. He said, the glory of the Lord shall return to this temple, Zerubbabel's. Now, folks, listen to me. We know that Zerubbabel's temple, slash Herod's, I always like to put a slash and put Herod there too, because it was the same temple, was destroyed in AD 70, right? So the Shekinah, in order to come there, had to have come there sometime prior to its destruction, okay? The Bible is a fascinating book. Now, listen carefully. Haggai's prophecy said there would be a reappearance of the Shekinah in Zerubbabel's temple one day, prior to AD 70. The Shekinah itself would return to that very temple, which was renovated by Herod. And here we find the literal fulfillment of that prophecy. Let's observe it. Look with me in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? It's the second person of the Godhead. That's right, June. Jesus Christ. It's the second person of the Godhead. Now watch this. The same was in the beginning with God. He's always with God because he's God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. We saw that this morning. He has life-quickening power. And the life, his life, was the light of men. And the light, the life of this Word, shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. It's no different today. There was a man sent from God whose name was John Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. Wow. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, the Word, Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He simply said there that he gives life to every human being. He was in the world. Now notice, something happened between verse 9 and verse 10. An incarnation took place. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. They still don't know him. He came unto his own. Somebody tell me, who is his own? That's right, the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jews. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, his own are Gentiles. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now watch, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt, tabernacled amongst us. And we beheld his what? Skinny eye. It's the Shekinah. This is so good. Watch. And we beheld his glory, the glory, Shekinah, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this new form of the Shekinah is clearly revealed in verse 14. Notice the word glory, skinny eye, twice mentioned. Now, look at the word in verse 14, dwelt. The Greek word there, same as the glory, skinny eye. Skinny eye. He skinny eye, he shekined amongst us. Now, skinny eye for the word dwelt in verse 14 is the Hellenistic Greek form of the Hebrew word Shekinah. They drop the H. So this new form of the Shekinah enabled men to behold the glory of God in the form of a man. That is the God-man. I hope you're listening. Now, this appearance in John chapter 1 is also the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Look at, drop back with me to Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, look with me at verse 2. It's a direct fulfillment of this prophecy. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell, tabernacle, in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The first coming of Messiah brought light into the world of darkness, okay? And it brought the Shekinah glory of God back to earth in a new form. Now, think with me, church. Just as the Shekinah, this is good stuff. Just as the Shekinah
departed Israel from the Mount of Olives in Ezekiel chapter 12. Remember that? He left, he got up from the throne, the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. He went to the threshold of the door. He went from the threshold to the door to the eastern gate. And then he went from the eastern gate to the Mount of Olives on the east. And he looked back from the Mount of Olives, not wanting to leave his people. And he departed, right? From the Mount of Olives. Just as he departed from the Mount of Olives in the Old Testament, the Shekinah, so too did the Shekinah depart from Israel again from the Mount of Olives in the New Testament. Go to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see this. And watch the wording here in Acts chapter 1. You know what's happened. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. His disciples now have seen him on a number of occasions, and they're waiting for the Holy Ghost to come down on the day of Pentecost, right? Watch what happens. Acts chapter 1, look with me at verse 9. Verse 9. And when he, Jesus, had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, apatzoed, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Messiah's going up to go back to the Father, right? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white apparel, which yet also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from where? The mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Folks, listen to me. The same way that the Shekinah glory of God left the Jews in the Old Testament from the Mount of Olives, he left in the New Testament from the Mount of Olives. Guess where he's touching down on the second advent? Hell, he's already a step ahead of me. The Mount of Olives. And that mountain is going to split down the middle in half. Imagine having the power to stand on a mountain and split it in half. That's our God. That's our Savior. Amen. Now, something else. Remember the biblical definition of the Shekinah. The biblical definition of the Shekinah is, remember, the literal, visible, localized appearance of God's presence in some form. Taking that biblical definition, no one could argue that the Son of God incarnated was an appearance of the Shekinah. Because remember, the Shekinah is God manifest in a visible form. Okay, I'm not making this stuff up. So clearly the incarnation must qualify and be included in the biblical definition of a Shekinah glory appearance. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it becomes absolutely clear as you study your New Testament that the Shekinah glory in the New Testament was in the form of a man called the God-man. It had never appeared that way before. Now, look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I told you, watch those 3:16s in the Bible. Verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What's the next word? God. God was manifest in the flesh. That was the Shekinah glory of God's presence in that man-child, the babe, Jesus Christ. That was the Shekinah. See, he made it possible for us to behold him without dying. That's a miracle. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. This was prophesied all through the prophets that this would occur at some point future. Israel just missed the boat upon the timing of his coming. Those wise men didn't. Oh man, they figured it out. They were mathematicians. They took Daniel's prophecy and they mathematically figured out the day of his appearing. Isn't that something? Look with me here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a prophecy. Something God would do that he never did before. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Someone? God with us. That's his name. Emmanuel. God, he said one day a virgin is going to have a baby without ever knowing her husband sexually. She's going to be a virgin. Listen to me. The virgin birth means she was a virgin when she gave birth to him. You see that? You got to understand that. You don't believe that, you can't be saved, by the way. Now, Matthew chapter 1. Let's see its fulfillment. Matthew chapter 1. It's so clear that this was the third appearance of the Shekinah in Matthew chapter 1. Look with me at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, very important, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away, privily, divorce her. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Do you know what the Shekinah glory, the cloud in the tabernacle of the Old Testament was? It was God with us, Moses. You know what the Shekinah glory in the Solomonic Temple was? For over 500 years, it was God with us, Moses. It was God with us. Here we find God with us again. In a new form. Totally new form. You know, you could spend your life studying the incarnation and never exhaust it. It's so deep. What he did. It's so amazing. You never grow tired of studying it. Now, listen carefully. He even appeared in the form of a rock in the Old Testament. And 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 confirms that that rock was Christ, the Shekinah. He's appeared in all kinds of forms, you know. He appeared as the captain of Joshua's salvation in Joshua chapter 5. Remember that? And he's appeared in all kinds of forms. Theophanies, Christophanies. Why? Because he's God. And when he appears in a visible, literal, localized form, it's a Shekinah glory appearance. Okay? Next week, we'll pick it up with the fourth appearance of the Shekinah in the New Testament. And it's probably the most outstanding appearance of the Shekinah in the New Testament. It has to do with a certain mount. I'll give you a hint. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the incredible word of God that you've given us. Lord, we are so rich because of this book. We have the knowledge of God, something the world does not know. Lord, we have this precious treasure, the living word, sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and we treasure it, Lord. We treasure it till our dying breath. It is the delight of our lives, Lord, and it always will be. We thank you, Lord, that there is a sanctifying power behind this book. The more we study it, the more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ we become. The more sanctified the Holy Spirit makes us. We're so thankful for that, Lord. It's not rocket science. It's not some magical formula that must be figured out by a theologian. It's simply this. Study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. It will make you what you're supposed to be. We thank you for it tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will finish tonight with an hymn of invitation and how we thank the Lord for the appearances of the Shekinah.